Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Paul Nolte is the Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist for Murphy and Sylvest. Paul, good morning. I guess the earnings reports were good, but not great. What did you think?
Yeah, they came out better than expected in many cases, but as you know, we've talked about in the past, earnings expectations always get tamped down so that companies can look fabulous by beating those expectations. But what's interesting, and we saw it this morning with Caterpillar, is the earnings were great, revenues were great. Their future orders, though, were down a little bit, and we've seen from other companies where they're talking down what they're seeing going forward. So their expectations for the coming quarter or two are what is disappointing Wall Street and why we're seeing such poor reactions from the stock price, even though the earnings numbers have been generally okay.
And the earnings, the inflation data that we got on Friday, I guess you could also say good but not great, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're seeing with some of the economic data. It's good, but, and in the case of the PCE, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, we saw the without food and energy, the prices have come down some, but it's coming down at a very slow rate. And so I don't think the Fed is, when they meet tomorrow and they make their decision, I don't think they're going to be hiking rates at this point. But I think they're still going to be pretty focused on inflation. So I think more than a lot of the other economic data points that we're going to be getting over the next couple months, the inflation data is really what the Fed is going to be focused on to decide whether they continue to raise rates or they stand pat.
We're going to get another employment report. And at this point, has that become more of a political issue than an economic one as far as how it affects us?
A little bit. The numbers that we're going to get, probably north of 200,000, again, outside of the couple of years around the pandemic, 200,000 is a very good number. So, again, when you take a look at the number and the unemployment rate, we're going to be pretty close to full employment, if not there. I think where you're going to see people focus on is wage growth. And that, again, leads to that inflationary discussion of are wages going up faster than inflation or not? Is it something that, you know, we're going to wind up in a spiral where wages are going up because inflation is going up and inflation is going up because wages are going up? And you get into that circular argument. I'm not sure that that's going to be the case at this point. And wages actually over the last year have been rising at a rate faster than inflation. So for all the hand-wringing at this point, the worker is starting to get ahead of much of the inflation data.
As far as stocks are concerned, we're starting to hear the phrase correction territory again, aren't we?
Yeah, this comes up usually every twice a year, maybe sometimes even three times a year. It's normal. It's the market breathing. We certainly got we came out of the gate very fast first half of the year. Market peaked out in the end of January, July. And all we're doing now is kind of correcting that. Everybody's taking a step back. We're seeing certainly the tech sector kind of lead that step back. And it's normal to see that till we get the fundamentals to kind of catch up with the market. So we don't think yet there's enough in the market to say, okay, this is going to be something meaningful to where we get a bear market of a 30% decline. But again, it's something that we pay attention to. The forward rates of return when the markets go down are actually good, but it's difficult to get investors excited when the markets go down 10% because the worry is, you know, they get the ruler out and they say, well, this is going to continue on for the next 6 to 9 months and things aren't going to be good.
You still
generally, when the markets go down, you want to buy.
Paul is carrying a ruler in his pocket, along with a pocket protector.
Flight rule. Flight rule.
So the next 3 to 6 months tend to be the strongest as far as stocks. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, from a seasonal perspective, we get into the better part of the year. We see the year end generally do well. You see a lot of people adding to their 401ks at the beginning part of the year. You get bonuses, they get paid. So the first, the last couple months of the year, first couple months of the new year, tend to be among the best for the markets.
Mm-hmm. And you wrote in your newsletter, signs are beginning to pop up that the decline in stocks may be tempered some in the months ahead. The bond market holds the key. Could you elaborate on that, Mr. Nolte?
The key really is interest rates. And part of the reason why we've seen this correction in the market over the last 3-4 months is that interest rates have been going up. We're up a full percentage point now across the board. We've gone from 4% in the June-July period now to 5. And investors are looking around going, okay, 5, not too bad. If I can lock in a 5% rate of return, I don't have to worry about the gyrations of the market. I'm a happy camper. So we've seen some investors shift from stocks to bonds, and bonds are now providing a little bit of competition for stocks. If interest rates come down a little bit, come back down to that 4% level, then I think you do see investors go back into the stock market. And so that's why we think if interest rates can stay here or decline, that will be healthy for the stock market.
Before we let you go, Paul, I need you to explain something. I was reading in some column, some financial advisor was writing that if you're paying an annual fee for a credit card with rewards you don't use, call the card company, see if you can move to a card that's a better fit. Switching cards that way means you could avoid a credit inquiry. So it's a good way to get rid of the annual fee without any repercussions on your credit. But I thought you would take a hit on your credit report if you did that, no?
No, you really don't. When you take a look at your credit score, it's a combination of the credit that's available to you from all sources, all the different credit cards you may have, and then how much of that credit do you use. So if you've got a couple credit cards, total credit limit, maybe, say, $10,000, $15,000, and you've already used $12,000 of that, your credit score is not going to necessarily be fabulous because you don't have a lot of room to add to credit and they become a risk. But if you're trading basically a zero balance that you're paying off every month to another card that you're paying off every month, there's really no credit hit there. So it's as long as you're making payments and paying off the credit cards, you're generally going to be in pretty good shape from a credit score perspective.
All right. I know what I'm going to be doing later today. It's Paul Nolte, Murphy and Sylvest. Thank you, Paul. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.